a Sunday to a Sunday. I guess that counts. Those first few days, whatever we did those first few days, I guess we can't be accountable for. But glad to be here. Kids made it through their first week of school at North Bay and back and forth across the bridge every day safely. And glad for that. And we all are adjusting. Most of the back boxes are unpacked, but still a few more things to find their permanent place. Now, the hardest thing for me is finding where all the dishes go. I've always had a problem with that. You know, when I open up every kitchen, every cabinet door and going, where does this fit? And if I don't know, I ask or I just set it on the table. So at least I can start off without putting things in the wrong place in the first week of life here. But things are going well. I want to encourage you all, as we're starting our life group season, we're all together here tonight at 5:30. If you are a part of a group or haven't been a part of a group, there's still opportunity. We're still forming the groups. We haven't split up yet. So if after services, if you want to come up and grab one of these papers, if you haven't done that, or maybe you had that and lost it, just to fill it out and leave it up here, and we can start to get our groups established. But small life groups are an awesome time to be together with a smaller group of Christians each Sunday night throughout the year to really allow God to work with us and on us in a very intimate and transformative way. Also in the bulletin, there was a mention about updating our email list. If you could send your email, even if you think the church already has it, send the church an email on the church email address. We'd like to start kind of getting communication going through our email and access that, but first we've got to update it. So any family members that you want to have on that, a husband and wife or kids, whatever, that want to have that communication coming your way, please email the church, say, this is my email address, and be looking forward to seeing some communication happening through your email account. And also want to invite everyone to come to Wednesday night. What is the church of your dreams? And I was mentioned from Mike that hopefully that's a church that the Lord is a part of. But for us to dream together and talk together, we need you to be here. And so I encourage you to come Wednesday nights, this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and start that new class and discussion together. Well, I'm convinced that, as we reminded last week, that God is here. God has always been with his people and always been here with us. You know, God revealed himself and called Moses, and I believe that God has revealed himself to us through his son Jesus and has called us. God has redeemed the lost nation of Israel, and God has redeemed us through the cross. He knew that we were in need of rescuing, in need of a Savior, and he provided salvation through Jesus. And God desired a relationship with Moses. God just didn't want to just do all the work himself without including his people, but he invited Moses, said, I am sending you to go and to speak to Pharaoh and to lead the people and to be a voice for me to the people. And God desires a relationship with you and with us to save us, to use us, to transform us. And right now at the very beginning, it's kind of odd to extend an invitation at the beginning, but I want you to start thinking now as we start this time of our worship and preparing for that end of the sermon time to respond. You know, I enjoy the responses, the sharing that Tim gives and Steve and Mike and others that up here and share of our lives. And you know, this is a time when we come together, and I want it to be a time where we really do feel comfortable and open to share. And I like the support we have one for another. But I invite you now to think about, what is God calling you? How is God calling you today? You know, God is here. Is God calling you to respond and say, I'm here? And maybe to confess once again, to say out loud, Jesus is Lord, that I love the Lord and I'm committed to him. You know, it's so good to be able to say that out loud to God and to others, to make that confession again, to tell the body here, I'm glad to be a part of here, and Jesus is my Lord. And God's inviting you into a relationship with him, to come and to proclaim the joy you have for him, and that you're blessed and that you want to be saved by him, you want to commit to him. You know, maybe God is inviting you to answer the question, are you free from sin? And like this church, to come around you and help you to get through some struggles you're going through. Maybe you have someone you care about that you like the prayer requests, prayer needs of, someone that we can lift up together. So I just invite you this morning, as we start this time, to thinking about responding to the invitation today. Well, just as God trusted Moses with the responsibility of leading people, you know, I've been blessed this last 15 years of my professional ministry life of having the responsibility of taking care of teenagers. Every year in Weatherford, every summer we employ a youth intern to help us in our ministry with all the camps and activities we had going on. And our intern we had this last summer, he wrote a nice thank you card for the church. And on the thank you card, he thanked the church and the parents for that they trusted him with their kids. That they trusted him to drive their kids around different places, to load up kids in the church van, you know, to allow a college kid to say, hey, fill up this van, we're going to go. And trusted him with the responsibility of being an example, to their kids. And I thought that was an awesome, awesome thing that he understood about the responsibility he was given throughout the year. Because, well, I did give that to him. I gave him keys. I said, take the kids places, you know. And I gave him, you know, activities to lead. But I think about, I've had that responsibility to do that as well. And when I first started here, in my early stages of youth ministry, and the church bought that nice maroon van out there, and I was terrified. I had nightmares about driving that van, especially on these river highways. And I had a dream about that. I was cruising along going to Eugene with a busload, a van load of kids, and they were just doing their normal thing, loud and laughing and giggling, and we were driving on the river highway, and I lost control, and the van started going faster, and I let go, and I screamed out, and we went shooting off the side of the road and into a tree, and I was screaming, ah! I looked back, and the kids were all, just laughing, no problem, just safe as can be, and I woke up. And I was so glad that I woke up. But I had that fear that I had this responsibility. But it was an awesome opportunity to be involved, that God said, yeah, I'm going to trust you to do these things. To be involved in students' lives. To be involved with stepping into the messes that some people get themselves into, whether students or families, and to celebrate in the good days of these kids' lives and these families' lives, and also at times to sit with them when life didn't go so well, when they were upset, or maybe they had lost a loved one and was going through the mourning process. The opportunity to pray, the opportunity to be in relationship with them, to actually be friends, to be accepted into their life and them into mine, to teach and to serve. Times to challenge them, and also to allow myself to be challenged. At times to take those situations and say, I don't know, God, what should we do? And at times also to be in those relationships, at times when I had messed it up and I hadn't got it right, and I had said the wrong things, a time to be an example, to confess sins, to say, hey, I'm sorry, I messed up. I said the wrong thing. I didn't call in time. I didn't let you know. And so it's awesome to be given this responsibility that God has invited us, just like he called Moses and invited him to say, no, I am with you, and I am sending you. And God held true to his side. God was always with Moses. At every stage of his life, God had never left Moses. And when Moses signed on and said, yes, I'll do it, even though I can't speak well, he went through that struggle of figuring out, you know, trying to get out of it. God said, here's your brother Aaron. He'll speak to you. I'll speak to you. You speak to him. Go anyway. Moses finally, okay, God, I'll go. God was with him. And through Moses and through his obedience, God led the people out of Egypt, finally broke down Pharaoh's heart. They left Egypt. The people were led through the Red Sea on dry ground. While in the desert, God provided food and water and clothing. Actually, their clothing never wore out. They had clothes that never wore out. That's amazing. I would love that. Now, I do have a few pieces of clothes that I've had for a long time, and they haven't worn out. But some that I wear a lot, they're done. Well, God provided that. God gave them a law to protect them, to show them his love. God provided a way and a day for them to pause and rest to worship him. God was present in the day through a cloud and a fire by night. He had them establish a tent of meeting, a tabernacle, a place where Moses could meet with them, where God's presence could be seen at any time amongst their body. God was with Moses. God never left him nor ever forsook him. And in Hebrews 11, the Hebrew writer reflects back on Moses' life and says, by faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. And by faith, the people, through Moses' leadership, passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. See, God was with them, and God prepared a path, and God went before them and was around them and was even behind them. God destroyed the enemies that were to come, that would be amongst them, and that were even chasing them down from behind. And it makes me think of a song. I'm going to read the lyrics to this song. As we think about God being with us, and he's just not here real close, and he is real close. He's in our hearts. I mean, that, you can't get closer than that. But he's also all around us. He's above and below and around. So listen to these lyrics. As I rise, strength of God, go before, lift me up. As I wake, eyes of God, look upon, be my sight. As I wait, heart of God, satisfy and sustain. As I hear, voice of God, lead me on, be my guide. Be my guide, above and below me, before and behind me. In every eye that sees me, Christ be all around me. As I go, hand of God, my defense by my side. And as I rest, breath of God, fall upon, bring me peace, bring me peace. Above and below me, before and behind me, in every eye that sees me, Christ be all around me. God is with you and is here in this place. And he's been with us. And we're not just here by ourselves. I'm sure there are people that have been around you, that have gotten you where you are in this place. People that have led you, that have taught you, that have mentored you. And I've been blessed to be able to have been led and taught by many different people, many wonderful teachers and elders and ministers and friends and family, those that put their trust in God, that were themselves being called by God and going with God and being led by him, but also being willing to look around and say, who else may I gather up beside me to walk with me and me to pour into their lives? I was blessed with some wonderful preachers growing, especially in my high school years. We moved to Sydney, Montana, Northeast Montana, a church about this size. And the preacher there, Dan Frazier, he was very impactful in my life. He worked very diligently with the teenagers there and helped us to grow up in the church, to be leaders, and taught us how to lead songs and to lead prayers and to even give sermons. There was a church in Williston, North Dakota, just across the Montana-North Dakota border that didn't have a full-time preacher. I don't think they even to this day have a full-time preacher. But they would have guest speakers all the time. And I got some of my very first preaching experience as a 15-year-old to go preach at that church there. I'm glad there's no record of that sermon. But him seeing that and putting us in those positions and directing us and mentoring us in that way. The other teachers in the state of Montana that taught at Bible camps and that really took the time to pour into our lives and encouraging us at camp. The camps were a great setting where they invited the young men to lead in devotional talks and to lead the singing and to come alongside of them and to be mentored that way. And I was blessed with some great teachers and examples at York College where Leah and I attended. Some great professors, a great campus minister in Mike Rush that came alongside of us and poured into us from their trust and their love and their faith and their experiences and poured into my life. And I've been able to work with, from my internship days, Milton Caraway in Kalispell, Montana, that helped me in those early stages to kind of figure out what ministry was all about. And then even coming here my first 6 years and working with Norm, and then the last 9 years with Bruce Lewis was the preacher there in Weatherford. And also being a part of so many great elders, so many great men, the men here and those in Oklahoma that have just shared of their great love and their experience and being those shepherds that are taking in the sheep, all shapes and sizes and hair colors and all different kinds to say, Walk with me as I walk with Christ. Well, these mentors all provided good environments for me to grow. And you know, it's so important to provide that good environment. It's kind of like a gardener. You know, some of you I know probably are into some gardening and growing, and that's a lot of a labor of love and a great work to be a part of. And see, a gardener can't grow a thing, though. Gardeners can't grow anything. A gardener can only create an environment that is conducive for growth, like providing rich soil, fresh water, good fertilizer, and a lot of sunshine. And at that point, after you've provided that good environment, it's truly up to the Lord. It's up to the Lord, but of course, the Lord, the great thing is that He uses the gardeners. If you that grow things, He's using you, and you provide those environments, but it's He that allows those plants to grow. The plants wouldn't make it without a gardener creating the right environment. I hope that together with the elders and the body here, we can work together with God and create an environment for growth here. You know, life groups, like we mentioned, life group is a great environment for that to happen. And I hope that you can make a commitment to be a part of that. Well, this last week, as I was getting moved into the office there, and my first sit down in the office chair there before any boxes were unpacked, and before I opened up any books or turned on the computer, you know, I was thinking, this is Norm's chair. You know, Norm sat here for 27 years and trusted in the Lord, was led by the God, is obedient to God, you know, prayed for you and taught you and sat in that chair thinking about, you know, being mentored by God to use him to lead you and to encourage you. And I know to be able to do that is a great thing. I think about, I was sitting in that chair thinking, he sat at this chair and sat at this desk and looked out that window and praying and seeking God. You know, I'm humbled and honored to take on this role of serving and ministering to this body. But it's not, I'm not here alone. I'm not here without the influence of others. And I'm blessed by that. Well, Moses was led by God, and he had a successor. And his successor was Joshua. See, Moses saw potential in Joshua. Who has seen potential in you? Who's seen potential in you? Who may put you in a position, say, I see this, you can do this. You should do this. You should try this. And that's pushed you. And hopefully there's been those that have done that. I remember being pushed into places where I didn't think I fit, that I should go. And one of those was student body president at York College. That was something I did not desire. That sounded like a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of upfront time. But it took a couple other really, what I thought were very influential students at that time that came after me and said, hey, you should really be a student body president. No, 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 no. Another person that I respected, hey, you should be a student body president. No, 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 no. And then it was finally, they said, let's go out to dinner. So now you got my attention. I can do that. I can eat with you. And then it softened me down with, you know, chicken fried steak and potatoes and gravy, and I was feeling pretty good. You know, I should be student body president. And I said, okay. And it turned out pretty good. But it was someone else seeing potential. You know, I see potential in all of you. I see potential in this body. I see potential in this eldership, in this family of believers to carry on the good work in this place. But we do not stand, and we're not here in this place without the influence of those who've gone before us, mentors in your life, mentors in our lives, and even those that are still here mentoring, and keep up that good work of mentoring. Let's get to our text for the day. Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31, 1 through 8. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old. I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy those nations before you. You will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to me, what did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord God swore to your forefathers to give them. You must divide it among them as an inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. God was making himself known to Moses here and said, you know what? I've always been with you and I will still be with you. And guess what? You're here at the precipice of going into this land now, all this time to get you to this point, to this promised land. That I've been promising your forefathers that I'm going to cross ahead of you. I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to destroy those nations. I'm going to deliver you. And so Moses' only response should be is to let him do that, to let him go in, to trust him, to not worry, to not fear. You know, Jesus speaks of this a little about this worrying fact and says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And Moses was at this point, he's 120 years old, and he believed in God and he trusted in God, but he said, I'm an old man, but I have Joshua who's been along with me. And he tells this to Joshua, and he gives that message to him. And the message is, the Lord your God will deliver them to you, and you must do to them as I have commanded you. You must do what I have commanded you, to be strong and courageous, to not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never leave you. He never has. He never will. Regardless of your position, regardless of your decisions, regardless of your level of obedience or disobedience, he takes you where you are at any state and says, I'm here. I love you. I'll go with you. I'll go before you. And he leaves it over to us. He takes you where you are. And if we're willing to obey him, he'll take you to where you never thought you could go, to be what you never thought you could be, and to enjoy the promises that he's always promised all his people. He takes people where they are. So what is it to obey? So, yes, okay, you got my attention, God. You're going to go with me. You're going to feed me. You're going to be with me. What is the command? Go back to 31. Actually, go forward. 31:9. So Moses wrote down the law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders. And skip down to verse 12, 31:12. Assemble the people, men and women and children, and the aliens living in your town, so they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God, excuse me, and follow carefully all the words of this law. So, be strong and courageous. Obey the laws. What's the law? He wrote it down. Gather the people together. The children must listen and hear. So what is the law? The law is, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commands I give you today are to be upon your hearts. That is the command to love. Deuteronomy 30, 19 through 20. Deuteronomy 30, 19 through 20 says, this day I call, Moses is saying, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that your children may live, that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The command is to love. And this command, the obedience or disobedience, weighs on everything, life and death, blessings and curses. See, back in 14, no, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart so that you may obey it. See, I set for you today life and prosperity and death and destruction. For I command you to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. God is here. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. What is he calling you to today? To obey? To be strong and courageous? To not be terrified? To confess your love, to say, yes, I obey you. I love you, Lord. You are my Lord and my King. I hope there's someone here that has the courage maybe to say and respond today to something. To encourage us by your confession of your love for Jesus, of how blessed you are because of him, to share in that so we can be encouraged by that. Hope that you've been encouraged or maybe called to feel like, I need to confess a burden, a sin, so we can bear together with you. And that could be a moment, that's also a time where we can are celebrate and we are encouraged. Because at those crossroads and we confess and we make a decision, that's where our hearts are turned. Now what are you going to do? Where are you going to turn? And by turning to the Lord, we all are encouraged by that. Or maybe your response is to accept the Lord in baptism. All those invitations are open to you this morning. Hope that someone has the courage to come, to show your love, to obey, and to be strong and courageous, even as we stand to sing.